Again, in this Lenten season, we have a reading from the Gospel of John that is packed full of theological ideas and best-known sayings, including the phrase, "I am the light of the world," spoken by Jesus. Moreover, there is a substantial discussion about the place of sin in human experience, as well as a good deal of thought about what it means to believe in the presence and the purposes of God. And again, I have to say that there is no way we can deal with all of that in a few moments of homiletic reflection. And so again, we will focus on the basic story of an encounter between Jesus and a person who was born without sight. We are looking at the stories of encounters between Jesus and various persons in the Gospel of John in order to discover what is so special about each of these encounters. What can we learn from these encounters about our own encounters with the presence and the purposes of God? The key to the encounter today can be found in verse 39 of those many verses that Michael read, in this one verse in which Jesus says, "I came into this world so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may lose their sight." And that is, of course, an enigmatic and paradoxical saying. But you know, it is one of the core components of the prophetic tradition of Israel. One of the most eloquent expressions of this component can be found in the call of the prophet Isaiah, where God gives Isaiah this following mandate: "Go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Isaiah, make the mind of this people dull, and stop their ears, and shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and comprehend with their minds, that they may not turn and be healed." In the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus adopts this mandate for himself and actually quotes that text from Isaiah in describing it as his own calling. And in John's Gospel, it is mentioned in our story today. Part of the prophet's job, evidently, is to cause people to lose their hearing, their sight, and their understanding, their very well-being. And what could this possibly be about? Well, perhaps the best way to explain it is to see this strange mandate as a kind of a test of a true prophet. When a real prophet speaks, people will tend not to listen. When we are confronted with God's point of view, we want to look the other way. When truth speaks to power, it falls on deaf ears. Way back in the traditional stories of Israel, when Moses is sent to confront Pharaoh with God's demand for liberation for the people, how does the Bible phrase God's instruction to Moses? "You shall speak and tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of this land, but I will harden Pharaoh's heart." Now, why would God want to do that? And the point is, of course, that God would not want this at all, wants the very opposite. But when truth speaks to power, when divine truth speaks to absolute power, there will be resistance. God presents and represents truth, justice, love, light. But the presentation of divine virtue to the forces of oppression and evil will inevitably provoke a harsh response. Evidently, God knows this, and therefore, when I speak, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. God cannot but demand justice and compassion. Pharaoh cannot but refuse, and hence the sense of cause and effect. In fact, Jesus carries this divine burden with him in his ministry. Therefore, he inevitably ends up on that cross. But we are not there yet. Good Friday is still nearly 4 weeks away. In the meantime, Jesus is still busy with those Lenten encounters, making enemies, turning people off, hardening hearts, creating deaf ears and blind eyes. But, thank God, that is not the whole story, is it? There are some who do hear, some who do see, some who are born from above or raised from mortal despair. These are the persons that we meet in our gospel readings this Lenten season. And the one we meet today ends up being able to see even though he had never been able to see before. Or should we say, because he had not been able to see before. Now, he had new eyes, fresh new eyes, able to see the beautiful world that Jesus was portraying in his teaching and ministry. The lesson here is pretty obvious. If we want eyes to see life in the way of Christ, our usual way of seeing could very well get in the way. We'd be better off starting from scratch without ever having seen before. We'd be better off letting go of our preconceived conclusions about the status quo. We'd be better off recognizing that we really don't see very well after all, and we still have a whole lot to learn. Our gospel reading suggests that we can be given new eyes, not to mention new ears, a new heart, and a new understanding in our encounters with the divine. And we experience those encounters, of course, in a variety of ways, and words alone are not adequate to describe them. Today, the language of our music is saying something about these encounters as well. I mentioned earlier that Arvo Pärt intended to represent the encounter between the human and the divine in his music. And when these two motifs interact in his music, they sometimes seem to clash. We will hear two notes sounding at the same time, which to our conventional ears don't seem to belong together. The music then sounds dissonant. We don't have ears to hear it. Even our musicians find it hard to learn. And yet, with fresh ears, such music can touch the depths of our souls. Pärt calls this style of music tintinnabuli. And I'm not going to try to explain that term any further. If you're interested, check with Brad. But I would like to offer you this quotation from Pärt himself. He once observed, tintinnabulation is an area that I sometimes wander into when I am searching for answers in my life, my music, my work. In my dark hours, I have the certain feeling that everything outside this one thing has no meaning. And that thought fits rather well with our Lenten reflection today. We're on the right track when we set aside that everything else and look at life with the fresh eyes offered to us in the way of Christ.